Saturday, June 28th, Vigil of Saints Peter and Paul. The lesson from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. In those days, Peter and John went up into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, that he might ask alms of them that went into the temple. He, when he had seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked to receive an alms. But Peter with John, fastening his eyes upon him, said, "Look upon us." And he looked earnestly upon them, hoping that he should receive something of them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." And taking him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and forthwith his feet and soles received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and went in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew him, that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Haydock Commentary. Though the Jewish ceremonies were shortly to cease, yet it was not unlawful to follow them, so they went to the temple as a proper place for prayer. The custom of praying three times in the day is ancient among the Jews. Daniel at Babylon opened his window on the side which looked towards the temple of Jerusalem, and three times a day bent his knees before the Lord. The ancient fathers of the church have strongly recommended this established custom of praying three times in the day, morning, noon, and evening. It is not a precept, but a religious observation, to which she invites all her children. In Catholic countries, the toll of a bell at morning, noon, and evening announces the time for the recital of the Angelus, a short prayer in honor of the Incarnation. At these moments, all, however employed, whether at labor in the field or at home, cease from their employment till they have recited the prayer. The repetition of this and similar practices cannot be too strongly recommended to Catholics of the present day. They are of singular advantage in recalling the soul, which is too easily dissipated and distracted, to God, her first beginning and her last end. St. Peter told the man to look upon him, to raise his attention and expectation, but the poor man thought of nothing but alms. St. Luke told us in Acts 2:43 that the apostles did many miracles and prodigies, but this is the first one specified. Peter says, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth." This is not the shadow of a great name, but the truth of what it signifies, a Savior. Not without reason is this the name in the Canticles compared to oil in its threefold properties of affording light, food, and medicine. When preached, it enlightens. Thought on, it feeds us. And called on, it assuages our grief. Whence has such a sudden light of faith spread over the world but in preaching the name of Jesus? How did this light shine and attract the eyes of all, when proceeding like lightning from the mouth of Peter, it strengthened the weakness of the lame man's feet and enlightened the minds of many spiritually blind? Did he not then scatter fire when he exclaimed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, "Arise and walk"? This name is food, too. Are you not refreshed as often as you recall it to your mind? What is as powerful in consoling the mind? What so soon repairs our wearied senses and gives new vigor to our strength, encourages virtues, cherishes chaste affections? All food is dry to me if not seasoned with this oil, insipid unless sprinkled with this salt. If you write, I relish it not unless I read the name of Jesus. If you read or speak, I take no pleasure in it unless I hear the name of Jesus. Jesus is honey in the mouth, music to the ear, ecstasy to the heart. This is also my medicine. Are you sad? Let Jesus enter your heart and thence ascend upon your tongue. And behold, at the rising of this star, every cloud will retire and serenity return. Do you fall into a crime or run on the brink of despair? Call on this name of life, and you shall be restored to life. So says St. Bernard. The Gospel from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. At that time, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith to him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me?" He saith to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." "Amen, amen, I say to thee, when thou wast younger, thou didst gird thyself, and didst walk where thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and lead thee whither thou wouldst not. And this he said, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Haydock Commentary. Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? That is, more than any one of these love me. Christ puts this question thrice to Peter, that this triple protestation of love, says St. Augustine, might correspond to his triple denial. St. Peter did not answer that he loved him more than the rest did, which he could not know, but modestly said, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And the third time, Thou knowest all things, and the hearts of all men, thou knowest how much I love thee. At each protestation, Jesus answered, Feed my lambs, and the third time, Feed my sheep. To feed, in the style of the Scriptures, is to guide, rule, and govern. St. Ambrose and some others take notice, as if by lambs might be understood the people, and by sheep, those placed over them, as bishops and priests. But others make no such distinction in this place betwixt lambs and sheep, only as comprehending all the members of Christ's church, of what condition soever. For here it was that Christ gave to St. Peter that which he had promised him in Matthew 16:18, that is, he now made St. Peter head of his whole church. Upon this account, the Catholic Church from the very first ages hath always reverenced and acknowledged the supreme power of the successors of St. Peter in spiritual things over all Christian churches. This appears also by the writings of Tertullian, St. Irenaeus, St. Cyprian, of the greatest doctors and bishops, both of West and East, of St. Jerome, St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, the first general councils, etc. The lambs and the sheep of our Savior here mean the faithful who compose his church. St. Peter, by these words, is appointed to take charge of the whole flock as being chief and prince of the apostles. He is in some manner the pastor not of the sheep only, but of the pastors themselves. They have each their own flock to look after, but to him is committed the care of all. He alone is pastor of all. Christ foretells that a cross should be the instrument of Peter's death and martyrdom. Another will lead thee whither thou wouldst not, which is no more than to say that a violent death is against the natural inclination of any man, even though he be ever so willing and disposed to undergo it. The martyrdom of St. Peter took place 34 years after this episode. He was first cast into prison and then led out to punishment as Christ had foretold him. He stretched out his arms to be chained, and again he stretched them out when he was crucified, for he died on the cross, as the ancients assure us.